issues, rights, that upset some people. After one such gathering, Sabine and Mehnaz were heading home when a motorcycle pulled up by the car and a gunman fired several shots at Sabine. The killing was the latest in a series of attacks on liberal activists and outraged many. The Prime Minister has ordered an inquiry. But when she came into the Outlook studio to speak publicly for the first time about her daughter's murder, Mehnaz told me about Sabine's more private side and her unusual take on life.
She's the one who actually initiated my divorce. And strange as it may sound, she was about 19, and she called me Amma, right? Which is mother in Urdu. So she said, look, Amma, if you're staying in this marriage for me, please don't do it. And then she went off and found out from lawyers and from different people, like, you know, what the process could be to have a separation. And we talked about it, and she went to her dad and got the paper signed. And I mean, she's pretty amazing.
Very unusual person.
She was a very unusual person.
And she had a great sense of fun as
she
well.
She did, and I think that's what's really important.
Did you live together?
Yes, yes. In fact, we're three generations. We live together. My mother's 90. I'm 64. Sabine was 40. All of us live together. And our cat, Sabine's cat, actually, who's really going through a very depressed phase right now. She's miserable. So, yeah, so we live together. Sabine had the child in her, and I think I have a child in me too, and we would let it out whenever.
How would you do that?
You know, our cat, her name is Jadu, which actually means magic in Urdu. So Jadu would love to play hide and seek, and Sabine would go running around the house like a real nutcase, you know, playing hide and seek with the cat. And then she loved to kind of prance about and dance about, and she would, you know, she was just a lot of fun. She was a lot of fun. And I think that's what's really important, because what we hear a lot now is that, you know, this human rights activist and this arts patron and this and that. And I think, no, as she did whatever she felt. If she felt something was wrong, she couldn't sit still. She had to raise her voice. So she didn't have any one cause, you know. Mm. She would fight for any and everything. She had an amazing sort of way with people. And over the last couple of years, I said to her many times, I said, Sabine, you know, one of these days, you're going to get a bullet in your back. And but I said, no worries. Don't let that stop you from doing what you want. And I will have to deal with whatever happens. So that's what's happening right now. I'm having to deal with it. I don't know why I said those things to her right now. I can't quite fathom why I said it. I don't know what it was.
An acknowledgement, maybe, that she was running a lot of risks by getting involved in the activity
she would take off sometimes at 3 a.m, you know, just go and sit with any minority groups who were being oppressed just to show her solidarity. You know,
was she worried about her safety?
People would warn her. She had received some warnings and some threats. And on the morning of the 24th, she knew that this event that she was hosting was a risky one.
This was about Balochistan.
It was called Unsilencing Balochistan. You know?
And that this is where it's been alleged that political activists have been tortured and killed. And it's not talked about.
You hear occasionally, you'd read about it, but it's not talked about. And somebody called her and asked her if they could have this event at her space, and she said, sure.
This space is T2F, which is a cafe bookstore that Sabine set up and where she held events.
That's right, yes. And I hadn't been visiting the space for quite a while because I would feel a bit tired in the evenings, but that day, there was something in me that I just wanted to be around her, you know. I hadn't consciously thought that she's not safe or something might happen, but I just had this feeling that, you know what, I have to go today and I have to be around just to show her my support. And I'm grateful for the fact that I was there with her that day, right next to her in the driver's seat. And, you know, Joe, she just died instantly. There was not a whimper, there was not a moan, not a groan, not a frown, nothing. She just rent in a nanosecond. She didn't suffer and there was no horror on her face. She was very, very peaceful and she had her dignity even in death, that she didn't slump over. It's just her head kind of just tilted a little and that was it.
What happened?
She was just actually dropping me home after this event. We were stationary because we were at a traffic signal which was red and there were people all around us. And this motorcycle kind of rode up, which was a bit too close for comfort, on Sabine's side.
What did you see?
This thing keeps going around in my head all the time. I see this image of these eyes looking and this gun coming out. And then I said to Sabine, I said, Sabine, just look, I mean, these guys, what do they want? I thought it was a mugging, actually, you know, so I thought maybe they want the handbag, they want the phone. But then I just heard the gunshots, the glass shattered and Sabine was gone. And the police say to me it took about 4 seconds from the time they drove up. It was at such short range that they fired.
You were also shot in that car. You took two bullets.
I took two bullets. One of the bullets that Sabine took went through her, out and into my arm and out of my arm. So that was one. She took five. And then another one, the police believe that it kind of came in, it ricocheted somewhere in the car and kind of went into my back. And that bullet is still here in my back. So
it can't be removed?
The doctors and the surgeons, they said it's risky to remove it and it's better to just leave it there. And they're afraid that they might kind of damage maybe my lungs or my spine or some such thing. So they say that in such cases, we prefer to leave it in, yeah.
So you must have gone to hospital with your daughter. What happened there?
I don't know, some young lad came along and he said, oh, auntie, I saw what happened and I followed you. And he said, can I help you in? And I said, okay. They'd already whisked Sabine off on a stretcher. And he took my handbag and he held my hand and we walked in and then, you know, they gave me some first aid and two injections. And then I was told I was being taken to another hospital. And they took Sabine somewhere else. She had to be taken to the morgue, actually.
Did anyone come and talk to you about Sabine? Did
someone at that time?
Officially inform you of her death? Or?
You know, that's the strange thing. When I was taken to the first hospital, and I kept saying to these guys there, the people who were around me, I said, please let me go to Sabine. Please let me see her. Tell me, is she alive or is she not? Though I had seen that she wasn't, but I just needed, I think, to hear it from the professionals, you know, the final word that, okay, she's gone. But, you know, they kept telling me, no, 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 she's under observation. And in our culture, they don't tell you very quickly. You know, they thought that I wouldn't be able to handle it and that I was injured. I don't know what it was, but they just wouldn't. I asked repeatedly. I said, just tell me, I can deal with it. I need to know this. This anxiety is driving me nuts. I'd rather know, you know, than I know what I have to cope with. And there's this young nurse who was, you know, helping with my wounds and things. And I just said to her, I said, you know what? I know that Sabine is no longer with us. I know she has died. So why aren't you telling me? And then she went outside and there was just a curtain and I heard her telling the other doctors in the emergency room that, you know, she knows. So I heard her say that. So then, you know, for me that was kind of double confirmation, though my eyes had told me and my ears had told me and all my senses had told me, but I needed to hear it from them. So
I suppose nobody wants to tell a mother that,
yeah,
that child
I think it's
gone.
Difficult for them to tell me. So I said, okay, that's, I know, my heart knows, my head knows. And of course I realized that my grieving will go on for the rest of my life. But where she's concerned, I mean, my kind of solace is that she lived a very meaningful, very purposeful, very mindful life. She did more than most people would do, you know, in the short lifespan. And that she's in a safe place now. And I'm good with that she's okay, I would imagine, wherever she is.
after she died, there was a huge outpouring of support on, social media. Yeah. How many people came to the funeral?
I have no idea, but I was told there were over 2,000, maybe 3,000. I don't know. I'm not sure because I was sitting inside and, you know, I don't know how many people I hugged and met that day. I mean, and there were so many I didn't even see.
Did it help you to have that kind of support for Sabine after her death?
I don't know how to answer that, really. In a way, it was good to see and continues to be that, you know, she's set off huge ripples and a lot more people are saying that, you know, Sabine should not have died in vain. I mean, there's a lot of shock that, you know, how could she have been shot like this? And what I really felt supported with, a lot of her friends from New York, from London, from Bahrain, from Lahore, from all over, they flew down to be with me. And I felt very sort of supported by that. Mm. And of course, all the people who came, I mean, I'm a bit overwhelmed with that. I still can't fathom, you know, because to me, she was my family. She wasn't this public person. She was part of me, you know, and she was my daughter. And who are all these people mourning her now? It's a bit awe-inspiring. It's overwhelming. I've been absolutely overwhelmed and flooded in every possible way. So I'd come home from work and there'd already be people at my gate, you know, almost walking in with me. And
Friends.
And then I had to deal with the police and, you know, their interrogations. And I don't know, somehow I also have a little bit of a fear of, different causes appropriating Sabine as kind of, you know, she was for this cause or that cause. And I don't quite see her as an icon or anything for any one cause.
How do you want her to be remembered?
I want her to be remembered as somebody who was lively, intelligent, fun, and very caring. And she talked a lot about love, you know, and I think Sabine, she defies definition. I don't want to be put in any one box or, like, you know, not to be categorized as this human rights activist or as this activist or, I don't know, there's a kind of schema that comes to your head when you say activist, you know. I don't quite see her like that. She was very much a whole person, yeah.
Is there a particular way that you celebrate her memory or that you intend to?
Her hair.
Tell us about that.
She wanted to kind of streak her hair in different colours. And so I said to her, okay, now that, you know, my hair is all white, come on, I think I'll also, you know, put one streak of some crazy colour. Let's do that.
Do you think you'll do that now?
I might, just in her memory. I think I might. And she had already got some. So I said, how long will it last? So she said, 3-4 washes. So I said, okay, then I think I'll go for it. So she was so delighted. She was saying, yay, Amma, come on, yeah, let's do that. So, yeah.
And it's only a few weeks ago. You seem so composed now.
Yeah, that's what everybody kept saying, that you know, you're so brave. I'm quite a private person, and I've always told myself from the time I was about 18 or 19 that, you know, one has to learn to deal with loss, any kind of loss. And my strategy for it was that, okay, don't think about it now, think about it tomorrow. Shall I tell you where that came from?
Yes, please.
It's really funny, but, you know, when I was about 17, I think, I read Gone with the Wind, right? And in that, towards the end, you know, when everything is devastated, Scarlett O'Hara, the way she dealt with it was that, I'll think about it tomorrow. Yeah.
And is that what you're doing now, thinking about it tomorrow?
Yes, that's what I'm doing now. The kind of person I am, I'm a teacher, I'm a nurturer, And I just feel I need to respond to the needs of all these other grieving people. And for me, I'll think about it tomorrow, because I keep telling myself now, for you, it's a lifetime of missing her. And don't start now. Think about it tomorrow.
Mehnaz Mehmood, mother of Sabine Mehmood, who was killed a few weeks ago. And you can see a picture of Mehnaz with Sabine on our Facebook page.